Sci-fi.
Hey, everybody, welcome to Real Life Sci-Fi with Wade and Willie. I'm Wade.
I'm Willie.
This is a Starburns Audio produced podcast that has been called Best Sci-Fi by JMJ Cooper on Apple Podcasts. If you have a five-star review, leave it on Apple Podcasts. We'll read it on the air. Let me read the rest of this because it's very personal to Willie.
Oh, no.
Love this show. Been a listener since the episode with Jeff Davis. Willie, you can get a sleep study done at home, all caps. I did it. It was simple. Sleep apnea will kill you. Don't let it win. Also, Bigfoot, oh, very apropos, Bigfoot isn't real, but it could hide in the woods because moose hide in the woods, and they are huge.
Oh.
Okay, well, but people have seen moose, though.
Oh, yeah, but for how many exists versus how many people have seen them, it's actually a shocking number.
Yeah, but I've seen pictures of moose.
I will add to that and say, yes, thank you for telling me that. My friend that called me right away and was like, do the sleep test at home. I'm like, okay, great. I will. You're right. I mean, I'm going to fucking die on accident. So sleep apnea, I'll get that taken care of.
You're not even fat. You know, like I thought sleep apnea was a fat person thing.
Oh, dude. Well, yeah, I have a story to tell in a little bit, but we'll tell it when
Should I introduce a guest? And then, then we'll, all right, let's welcome aboard the SSRLSF, our good friend from the movie Pearl Harbor with Ben Affleck, Ford Austin.
Hey, what's up, guys? How are you?
What's up? Good.
Ford, thanks for being here.
Fresh off the set of Pearl Harbor, made in 2001. Man,
in Hawaii? Was it in Hawaii?
We shot it in Hawaii, and we shot it in Tustin, and Cabo, and Houston, and Corpus Christi.
Holy fuck.
Yeah, we shot it all.
No way, but you were L.A. native at that point, right? And so, yeah. So why were you, because it was, you were just a pilot or something, and they were like, we should fly him out to Hawaii.
No, I was there, and I was cast as a Doolittle pilot, and we worked on all these aircraft carriers. I actually got to be on the aircraft carrier with the real Doolittle pilots that
were
historically.
Fuck.
They were like 94 and 95. There were four of them on the deck. And it was a trip, man. Like Alec Baldwin was yelling at us, and Kim Coates, pre Sons of Anarchy. And it was just
was that a Bruckheimer movie? Who made that movie?
No, it was Michael Bay.
Michael Bay.
Wow. Okay. Yeah,
Michael
cool.
Bay handpicked me to be one of those pilots. And then, we flew around on this jumbo jet with Ben Affleck and Josh Hartnett, who really hadn't had a career at all yet, Josh. He was still kind of new. I think The Basketball Diaries was his movie.
Before that. And
it was epic. It changed my life, and it changed the world.
Everybody loves Pearl Harbor. Everybody pinpoints Pearl Harbor as one of the best war movies of all time.
Yeah, the pivotal point in Hollywood, it really shifted everything.
There's before Pearl Harbor and after Pearl Harbor when it comes to Hollywood.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, thanks for being here. You've been on the show only one other time, is that true?
Yeah,
I think it was like 187 episodes ago.
Hey, wait, time out. What year was Pearl Harbor made?
2001.
So was that after 9/11 or before?
It was.
You shot it before, right?
I don't remember. I would think that I shot it. I'm going to say.
Just curious, because that's so fucking weird. That's a very good point.
I don't remember. I think we shot it. Maybe it was after. Maybe it was like 2003.
Pearl Harbor came out in 2001, so you must have shot it.
I think we shot it in 2000.
Wow. We moved out here the week of 9/11 to L.A.
What a trip that was. That was like time travel in itself.
That's like compared to this time, you know, life was different forever.
Yeah.
I feel like it's going to happen for Josh Hartnett eventually. I feel like he's going to break through at some point.
He's due. You know, he's due.
He's put his dues in. He's paid his
dues.
And
it's like, when we were on the set of Pearl Harbor, we were all saying, you know, with Josh, it's not if he gets famous. It's when he gets famous.
Yeah. Even if that's 2025, still you could take the over-under on that.
He's a good guy, though.
That's cool.
So, Ford, we do a little something called the WOW scale on the show, which I think maybe predates you. It's definitely a truncated version if we did do it at that point. So we're going to redo it right now.
It's
a five-question. It's a five-question survey.
Wow.
And it is. It's a barometer to see if you're either a Wade or a Willie.
Okay.
If you're more of a Wade, you're more on the zero side. If you're a Willie, you're more on the five side.
Okay, so would I either say Wade or Willie, right?
No. You just answer honestly, and then I'll tabulate your score.
Wow, scale.
Are you a Wade or are you a Willie?
First question, three-parter. Do you believe in aliens? If so, have they visited Earth? If so, have they visited Earth in the last 300 years?
Yes, yes, yes.
Okay. Do you want to expand on that at all?
I completely think that aliens exist. I think that all that crap in Egypt was an alien-constructed civilization. You know, I've been thinking that those pyramids are just antennas. And my sister is a complete conspiracy job who thinks that the Earth is flat.
The
reason you can't go to Antarctica is because there's an alien space station out there. And
I think if you tried hard enough, you could go to Antarctica, right?
Hey, well, I think they stop you and they push you back. But I believe it. Well, I'll tell you why. Here's the main reason. There's this theory. This is a really long, stupid thing, so just cut me off if you get bored. There's a psychology between, if you have one vending machine in a hallway at a high school and it's got Coca-Cola there, you walk by it, you have one choice. Do I get a Coke or not? Okay? Do I get a Coke or not? If you put a second machine there that's got Pepsi, all of a sudden it turns into, do I get a Coke or a Pepsi? Right? So now you have a different choice. And if they put water in the machine, well,
the choice of a new generation, you might say.
That's right, Mother.
Bingo, yes. So if that is an existing thing, though, that's been proven. That's the psychology of sales. All our lives, we've been told there's two options. One is evolution, Darwinism. The other is creationism and the Bible business. So the thing that they tell you is there's one of those choices. Which one do you believe? You have to make a choice.
Yeah.
And I thought about this during quarantine because, you know, we have so much time now. I thought, there's no way there's just two choices because there's got to be more choices. The world is just that crazy. There's some other fucking choice. And no one ever talks about it because we're too focused on the first two choices. So the third choice is neither of them is real. Because if evolution was real, which I really kind of believed in, why are we the only thing that's ever evolved? Yeah. Why are we the only thing that has examples of, you know, very, very high functioning? We made tools, we came from monkeys, and here we are. Why is there not like some lizard thing walking around or like an elephant or a platypus that's evolved?
Dude.
It's like going in, it's like, why is there no other species that's evolved? And it's like walking down the street wearing a suit.
Hey, Ford, just so you know, man, you're a fucking dream, dude.
I am?
Yeah. Listen, for how much water is on this earth, there should have been something that evolved more than us on land. How do we go from water to land to smart when and everything still exists in water? It should be water.
Well, the ocean's something that we haven't explored, so you don't know that there isn't an intelligent civilization in
that's
the bottom
another
of the ocean.
Thing. So that's why I think the chances of an alien existing here in that, what is that, 90 or 70% of the earth is still covered in water. I think that that's one of the reasons, like in the Marian Trench, there must be something. But going back to that psychology experiment of the two choices, all our whole lives we've been told it's either creationism or evolutionism. So why do they tell us that? So we won't ask that other question.
Yeah, it's the proof is in the pudding of like the politicizing things, you know? It's like everything's polarized because everybody that is above, once you become once you're in politics, you're not polarized. Who's polarized is everybody talking about it. They're all on the same page. Yeah. Well, whatever. I don't mean to throw that
out. If you're too busy. No, but you're right. If you're too busy trying to answer the question, you're not focusing on where the question is coming from.
I think what you guys are saying is this is the death of RC Cola, right?
Yeah. And I didn't mean to call you a dream.
It's okay. It's okay.
It's weird. That sounded like a compliment, and now you're taking back that compliment.
Well, you totally took it back.
I took it back only because I'm like, listen, I'm probably going to compliment you a lot this episode. That's all.
So we've already established he's a fucking five because he's got the Willie endorsement. But let's go on to question number two. Ford, do you believe in ghosts?
What kind of ghosts?
Okay, so this is where it gets. Let me just ask this. Where were you raised?
I was born in Oklahoma City and raised in Texas. And Dallas and Houston.
Oh, cool.
Were you raised religious down there in the semi-Bible belt?
No, I was
not at all.
No. But I was forced to go to Catholic school, and I was really picked on by the nuns.
Oh, man.
I was kicked out of that school. But I personally, in the household, there's no Bible in our house.
Okay, then I'll define ghosts as dead people whose spirits remain.
I'm agnostic on it, but I think that sometimes in the past I've felt a presence of somebody who was like one of my ancestors. My great grandfather specifically. And you guys remember in episode 187, I told you that I had actually seen my great grandfather when I had the car accident. So I had a near death experience. So I
episode 73. Oh yeah. You know what? I'm just going to say this now while we're here, go back and listen to episode 82, January 2017, Ford Austin was on basically, you know, today we're going to continue the conversation with him, but like, that he tells his story of his death.
Well, so
and it's
from
amazing.
A personal, so in episode 82, I talked about the near death experience I had where I saw my great grandfather and my grandfather. And if it's talking about ghosts, I cannot verify and say that ghosts are real because I personally have only heard stories that people have said. And I've come in my life to understand that a lot of people lie about shit or they just misunderstand shit all the time. Yeah. So I would think if somebody was like, I saw a ghost, be like, no, you saw a fucking sheet hanging in a window, you idiot. Or
yeah. Like, well, what did you see?
Yeah, you just didn't see something clearly. So your mind extrapolated a visual to go along with it.
Okay. Then I'm going to go with no on that.
Yeah, I'll say no.
All right. What about Bigfoot?
The traditional Bigfoot, I'm gonna have to say the jury's out. There's no proof. There's nothing. There are guys who monetize Bigfoot's the lore of Bigfoot. If you go to Big Sur, you can buy like merch and stuff with Bigfoot on it, which is kind of cool. And I think probably my best representation, my favorite representation of Bigfoot in the history of cinema would be like, I think it's episode one or two of Justin Roiland's The Mountain, where he's got that Bigfoot running around singing Sugar Shack.
Yeah.
And I died laughing at that. But do I think there's a traditional Bigfoot in existence? No, I don't. No.
Okay. I'm sorry. Do you believe in psychics?
No.
All right. Are you superstitious?
I tend to be, but then when I get to the point where it's like the chips are down, I'll be like, oh, fuck it. And I'll just say it's just superstition and I'll drop it and I'll just.
Well, my follow-up to this is often, did you play sports growing up?
Yes, I did. Yeah.
And then were there any superstitions involved in those sports?
No, I just sucked. I was just a terrible athlete growing up.
It's easy to not believe in superstitions when you lose constantly. Superstitions are bred out of winning.
Like, man, I shaved. Why did we lose?
Why did we never win? I remember my earliest athletic experience was being in a Pee Wee football league, and I think I was 4, and I got crushed in a dog pile, and I didn't get up by the time the play was done. So I was like stuck in the backfield literally I was pressed into the grass, and I got up finally. And right as I got up, the other team threw the ball, and the guy was running right by me. So I just turned and I started running after him, and I actually stopped him from getting a touchdown because I was like 20 yards in the backfield and nobody noticed. And that was like the one play of my life. Other times, I was okay at baseball. I was good at soccer, but I don't remember being superstitious about it at all. I just remember being so traumatized that my parents dragged me there and threw me out on the field where I had to do stuff.
Oh man.
It's like they just throw you into this group of people. They say, go do all this, play by the rules. And you're just like,
I don't
understand. I'm like 7. I don't understand. Why is this going on?
Yeah. So
that's good.
That was
to
very
hear.
Much baseball for me. My parents signed me up for baseball, but we went on vacation when they did tryouts. So when I came back, no one had seen me play, so I was just like the last guy picked. I was just put on a team. And I was like, what is this? We're playing baseball? I don't know.
Yeah, exactly.
I was in an outfield somewhere.
Yeah, that's where they put us all. I was a center fielder. Like, the ball never went out there. So they just kind of put you out there. But I was a pretty good hitter.
I vividly remember one time a fly ball came to me and I caught it. And
dude,
the only reason I remember that is because I was so panicked about not catching it.
Dude, my whole life has been like, I'm super athletic, but I've never played sports.
Yeah, like organized sports, no, but like
the one thing that I can't do is judge where something is in the sky. Like, I can do fucking everything. I can run, I can jump, all the things, but I fucking can't tell where something is in the sky. So I remember, like, I was the fastest guy on our football team, even though I played offensive line. And
It would have been great if you had the fanny pack even then.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I did have one back then, but not consistently.
No, on the field.
Yeah. I was like, oh, well, I got to put my gloves in there.
Pulling out a chapstick.
But they sent me back to do a kickoff return. And holy fuck, dude, I couldn't catch that. I was like, what? You know, I did the thing where you run backwards and then you run forwards and you miss it. And then I picked it up and it was return right. But I looked up and saw someone, so I started running left, and so I ran into my buddy, and we smacked face to face, and I fell over. It was Josh Sturgis. Picked up the ball, ran the wrong way, ran into him. We both fell over, and so in high school football, you hit the ground, you're down. Like, you don't need someone else to down you. So it was the worst return ever. But I was one of the two fastest guys on the team.
Well, congratulations, Willie.
Thank you.
Yeah, Willie, that's great.
Thank you.
So Ford, you're not as high as I thought you would be. I think you're like kind of a 2.
How do you know I'm not high? Would you like me to?
Aliens. Oh no, I mean.
Oh, sorry.
If you're anything
I'm in a cannabis state. I'm Oklahoma here.
Well, then that definitely puts you more toward Willie. I'm sure he's fucking stoned out of his mind right now. But no, I think it's like a 2. You don't believe in ghosts. You don't believe in Bigfoot. You don't believe in psychics. You're not superstitious, which is one of mine. So maybe a 3. I don't know, 2 or 3, something
well,
like
I mean,
that. I think you're right in the middle.
I might be convinced to believe in ghosts and paranormal activity just because I really believe in spiritual energy. That, like, when somebody dies, maybe their spirit gets caught around somewhere. So I would have to be a yes there.
I think that's the perfect kind of segue into what we're talking about tonight.
Okay.
Willie, why don't you hit us with the topic?
Tonight on Real Life Sci-Fi, does your mind require a brain? We're going to talk out-of-body experiences with Ford Austin, who's had a bunch of out-of-body experiences of his own. All that tonight on Real Life Sci-Fi.
Now, I think, like, for those of you who have not gone back and listened to, what was it, episode 87?
Was it 83?
I think it was 70.
82. 82. Episode 82, January 2017. It was Ford Austin tells his heroin
tale.
So we'll have to sum it up.
So what happened is, what, you got in a car accident, right?
I did, yes.
Do you want to give
in a nutshell, here's the wrap up. I was driving home from the studio in a Porsche convertible without airbags, and it was about 3 a.m. and I woke up in the windshield. I remember being in the car and saying, oh, I'm so tired, I wish I could just close my eyes, and actually doing it. And then I woke up in the windshield and I had glass broken all around me and I couldn't move. And I tried to keep my breath going for about 15 minutes. And then a firefighter walked up and he had the jaws of life. And I said, oh, thank God you're here. Get me out of here. I want to live. And he fired it up and it sounded like a chainsaw. And I said, holy shit, you're going to cut me in pieces and put me back together at the hospital. God forbid you cut this car. And I said, fuck it. Just leave me here. I'll figure it out myself. And then I collapsed. And at that point, I woke up standing outside of the car barefoot, looking at my great-grandfather and my grandfather next to him and a doorway of white light. And I turned around and I saw the firefighter cutting my body out of the car. So my body's still in the car. I'm out of my body talking to my relatives. And then, you know, I thanked my relatives for taking care of me. And then all of them pushed me back into my body and I cycled through a bunch of stuff for God knows how long. I eventually woke up from the coma. Oh, I actually felt an electrical shock as well, which was the firefighters, you know, putting the paddles on my chest.
And wait, how long were you in a coma?
2 weeks. I was in a coma for 2 weeks and I woke up with my family around me and I was paralyzed and I couldn't talk and I couldn't think straight and I couldn't see because my left eye had been almost taken out of my body. I had a big scar on my left eye. So now it's all healed and I play tennis and I make movies again and I live a brilliant life.
What year was this accident?
2011. That was March 9th, 2011. Yeah. And doctors gave me 1% chance of survival, but I did have a lot of therapy. So when I came back, I relearned to walk and I relearned to do everything. And I relearned to read and write and do mathematics and eat and breathe. Like I had to take breathing lessons and I did it. And I came back and it was like $7.5 million in hospital bills.
Man, what the fuck? I remember listening to that again and I was like, holy shit, man. Like how does anybody afford to?
You don't. Insurance covers it all. Insurance covered 90% of it. People don't. That's why you hear stories about people. They used to just put them on the side of the road down on downtown because okay, they'd go to that Presbyterian hospital down there. They'd just be like, here you go. And they'd just like, maybe they'd give him like a sandwich and an IV bag and just put him on the curb.
Good luck. No, he was fine when we left him.
Yeah. No. She was being released. So then it was like, while I was in that coma though, I had a ton of experiences where I was like off doing other things outside of my body. And that's kind of one of the reasons I believe in spiritual energy and your brain. What did you say? Your brain living without your mind living without your brain.
Yeah.
Well, whatever it is, you can live outside your body. You absolutely can. And, you know, our buddy Elon Musk is probably going to be the one that bridges us all out of our bodies.
Well, I mean, this is the crazy thing, right? So to the scientists that don't believe your perception of the events when you were outside of your body, you know, they would call that a hallucination that happened.
Yes.
And so the weird thing is when you look at this realm, there are two ideas. And what's crazy is science of today says that our mind is created from our brain. And so we cannot exist or perceive anything beyond living. And so out of body experiences, which is always called OOBE, people have them all the time. And so listen, people one in 20 people have an out-of-body experience. This happens all the time. But we're going to focus particularly on people who have had an out-of-body experience who were basically clinically dead, to where it's like, okay, your brain is not functioning. I know time is a big mystery, and the last seconds of can be mixed into the scientists that don't believe in your mind existing outside of your brain would say that these are all hallucinations that happen from your brain trying to make sense of its environment in the few seconds that it did exist.
Yeah. Yeah.
But to everyone else that does not believe that, it is you have a consciousness and your perceptions change, but you don't know how to take them in because you only know how to perceive things with your physical body that you already existed with. And so, I'm kind of leading with that, saying that, like, there are people that, there's one guy, Peter Fenwick, and he is He's a neuropsychiatrist and clinical neurophysiologist at St. Thomas Hospital, whatever. Here's a guy who says that, like, the out-of-body experiences that happen during cardiac arrest are very important. And so here are his breakdown points. People perceive around them when the brain is not functioning, and they get true information. There are stories of people getting true information of stuff that was not even in the same room that they were in. And so I'll go back and ask you about these things, but like just saying that, like, so he's saying that, like, there are stories that prove that people step outside of their brain and can comprehend things happening outside of the room where their even brain is at. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So that's one. And the second thing is that, sure, they can get through walls, but people have described seeing objects from multiple angles, meaning on top, below, side. Yeah. So he's suggesting that what is happening is that our consciousness, people who have out-of-body experiences when their brain dies, are having experiences in another dimension. So the consciousness exists. They jump into another dimension, fourth, fifth dimension of seeing things, so that you see things differently because the dimensions are different. These are spatial dimensions. So I'm only saying that, like, this line of thought is that if your brain dies, your consciousness jumps out of your body, and you're used to the perceptions of your physical body, but you're jumping into a new realm. And so I want to ask you, Ford, I know that you talked about this light door that turned into a person, that when you look through this light door, you perceived, like, different time or whatever, but, like, and you can clarify, but my question is, like, do you feel like you experienced something that can't be quantifiable when you jumped back into this existence? Yeah.
Let me explain sort of what that door was to everybody so they can be up on it if they haven't seen that other episode. Next to my great-grandfather and my grandfather, there was a bright doorway of white light, as if it was like an open door. So all it was pure light. And I looked into it, and it was forever. And it was like there were millions of wings floating through it, like angel wings flying through there. And then I stepped back, and it vacillated from pure white to pink, yellow, orange, all silvery tones. And then it transformed into the shape of a light being and pushed me back into my body. So that light door, I've kind of always wondered if it, and you always wonder if it's like a hallucination from some kind of experience you had in the hospital or in an ambulance or something, where maybe as you were going through a traumatic event and you're on some kind of amount of medication to stabilize your body, that your mind starts to create some sort of thing. And so maybe your eyes are sort of halfway open or something. So you kind of, you see like a halo of something. And so you, maybe you'll see like somebody trying to like reach out to you to help you in the real world. But you think it's like your relatives from the other dimension trying to reach for you and trying to bring you towards them. I don't know. I don't know what the door was. All I know is I experienced it. And my relatives were there. And then a couple years later, I went to a cabin that my great-grandfather owned, and I flipped the door, and it was the same vest that he had on the side of the street. So for me, I've always sort of thought that maybe it was just a vision that was related to the medication they were stabilizing me with.
But you also, though you'd never seen that picture before, you've never been to that place. So it wasn't like you never. Accidentally like created that. That was like,
right. No, I never did, but
which is, you know, nuts.
Yeah. And I never experienced the thing that I experienced where I was like hovering up in some area. I dreamed that I was like sitting at a desk in my apartment in Toluca Lake and that I got sucked down under the desk through like a birth canal where I couldn't breathe. And there were like tubes and gelatin and stuff. And then I went through the canal and I came out the end of it and I could breathe finally. And I was hovering through pink clouds as I hovered closer and down into like a room where there was a big long table in the middle of it with a person on it. And there was a bunch of people around it that I thought was like a party of rich people who bought a human being to eat them for sport, because I was making like 5 horror movies at the time. So that's where my mind went. But I thought that it was like a person on a table they were going to eat, and I could hear them talking. And then I got down into the room and I was the one on the table. It was me. And the people around the table were my family members and the doctors. So that happened 3 times. I'd never experienced that in my life either. And that was so real that like 6 months later, I asked my friend, I said, do you remember when I told you about those portals that I went through? And they were like, no, I had no idea. And I asked my wife, I said, you remember when I went through those portals? You know what that was? And she's like, I don't know what the hell you're talking about. I was like, huh, it was more realistic than anything I dreamed. And then I just, you know, after a while, you go through so much reality programming in this world where you're just told to behave and be normal and only like acknowledge what's tangible in front of you. And you just kind of let everything go that's not tangible. So what was that door? Was that another dimension? Was that an actual spirit? Was it my spirit? I don't know. But I do know that I had left my body. And I was looking at it, and I've since kind of researched it, and I've read up on a couple of other people that had experiences where a similar thing happened to them, where they died and their spirit left their body, and maybe their spirit was being led around by something else, where they literally saw like their whole lives, and they lived their whole lives outside of their body, and then they went back, and one was this book.
It was like Jimmy Stewart.
Yeah, kind of like that. Yeah, like It's a Wonderful Life.
This is crazy.
Yeah, well, Mary. Oh, you're done alone.
There's a run on the bank.
yeah. So it was, those were some great impersonations by all of us. So it was.
We're all entertainers here. We're all professional entertainers.
It's what we get paid to do.
We also all entertain ourselves.
Yes. So, but it's like I really believe that our spirits are way more powerful than we give them any credit for. So here's an example of why I think that. The only way that you're able to experience this world is through your 5 senses. If you didn't have your senses, you'd just be a fucking blob. You couldn't see anything to tell what it was. You couldn't touch anything to feel what it was. You couldn't taste it. You couldn't hear it. And you couldn't smell it. And if you took away all of that stuff, your brain is just in the dark. There's nothing giving it any sort of input. So without those senses, it's like, well, your spirit can't live in there. Your spirit is something else outside of there, because that's just a tissue thing.
That's kind of, I mean, shit, I didn't know we were going to go there. That's very interesting, because you talk about Helen Keller, right? She was deaf and blind. She did have the sense of touch, and that's how she learned how to communicate.
And she wrote books, but go on.
And she was very intelligent.
I've never read it, but like that, yeah, go on.
Well, no, I'm just wondering, like, because I thought you were going down a different road.
To me, she has, and when I think about the things that have shocked me the most, on par, I would say dying is up there. I would, and the story of Helen Keller, who couldn't communicate, and also Johnny got his gun, who could communicate before, but then like lost all that and like lost in his mind. But what always weirded me out was the perception of Helen Keller, the movie that I saw. I was like, wait, is this somebody writing a movie about her, or did she have perceptions that added to the movie? And I actually didn't know, because I'm like, you know, people's perceptions of her would be more grand than her own. But I'm like, it's her story is so abstract, because I'm like, how do you have a conversation when you've never seen or heard anything? And like, all we're trying to do is tell you how to see things, you know?
Well, I'm okay. So she was deaf and mute, right? She could see.
No, I don't.
She was blind too.
Oh, she was blind. So what did she dream? What were her dreams? Just smells, right? And touches? Because if she was blind from birth, how would she ever know what seeing stuff is? She would never have seen anything.
Yeah. That's,
you know, what I worked in a hotel once where I was like a guest valet, and Stevie Wonder was a guest there. And my job in that moment was to stand in the hotel room with Stevie and describe where the furniture was and how tall it was. And it was really quick. It was like,
God damn it, Stevie. This is so fucking cool, because we did an episode about Stevie Wonder, because I think he can see. But go on.
I think you said that before. So I said, Stevie, okay, so over here there's a painting on the wall. There's a chest underneath it with two plates on stands right there. And then there's three doorways. And then if you go to the other doorway there, that's the bathroom there. And there's a bed about 4 feet from that door. And then over here, you've got another table. And there's a mini bar to the right. And it was like that quick. And that was all he needed. And he was like, okay, man, okay. And
my perception is that
he's a good tipper. He was a good tipper, by the way.
He's legally blind, but he can see shapes and stuff.
All right. Well, let's not make this about Stevie Wonder. I also want to clarify. So Helen Keller, she contracted an illness at 19 months. And so, yeah, she's still a baby, but like, I think before that.
So she had the sensation of opening her eyes and seeing her mother when she was a baby, right?
Yeah, as far as my quick
basically, yeah, a year and those, a year and 7 months.
And those are the most formative parts of our lives. Those early moments are the most formative shaping of memories and reality. They say, like, if by the time you're 7 years old, you've learned everything that you're going to learn by the time you're 7.
Right. That's a theory. But that's just like a chicken soup for the soul, kind of hey, we're all cool. Like, you know everything you need to know. I feel like that's a dumb self-help kind of.
Well, no, that was like, I mean, that was from Buckminster Fuller, which was way before chicken soup for the soul. That kind of pop culture culturized it. But I think that if you... Let's get back to that spirit stuff, the mind outside of the body, your existence, like Ghost, right? Ghost the movie. I think that you're able to go out of your body. I really think people are able to do stuff like astral project, leave their bodies, meditate, to a different area. Like when they say the things like I elevated above the room and I came back down into my body. And on the way back down, I saw there was like a pen on top of the light fixture. And the doctor goes up there and he's like, holy shit, my pen's up here. Who put that up there? And then I think that stuff.
In that realm, I believe that that's real too. And I'm just like, I feel like we, because of intelligence and industrialization and all the things that we like, instead of focusing on the things that we see, we are focusing on the things that we need to be bountiful, whatever.
Elaborate on that. I like that concept.
Well, this is just going to be an anti-capitalism bullshit.
But like humans as a species, like for hundreds of thousands of years, we basically had the same brain. And
going back to evolution.
Yeah. And so like, I don't know. A thing that I wanted to bring up was that.
Well, hang on. Before you bring up another thing, I want to ask Ford, like, you believe in astral projection. You've had an out-of-body experience. Since that happened, since you were dead, like, has your life changed? Have you been like, oh, this is all meaningless and, like, the pursuit of happiness is different than what I thought of it before?
No, I think that the change was way more profound than that. And I've been thinking about this a lot recently because I'm in Oklahoma during a quarantine pandemic. And, you know, nobody here seems to think there's anything wrong. And my, one of my friend's father died of COVID. Our cousin just got COVID 2 days ago and he went to the ER. So, you know, you start to think like, okay, what is life really about? That's what happens when you get into an accident like that. You start to think, what is it about? Why am I doing this shit? And am I doing things the way that is the most beneficial for not only me, but for all my friends? And what I've come up with the past week, you know that whole theory where you say like, man, I'm really good at like fighting for my friends to get what they need or what they want, but I can't like speak up for myself so easily. Like it's harder for me to like ask for a raise for myself. But if Willie needed a raise from you, Wade, I'd be like, hey, you need to give Willie a raise because he fucking deserves it. And I'll tell you why. And I would like go to the carpet for somebody else. Wait.
And I'd be like, who let this man in here?
Yeah. And he'd be like, we don't even have a company. Who is that guy? I never hired him. And it's like, I think that what I've come to in my life that it started with the accident and recovering from it. I honestly believe that it's more about not asking what you can do for your country, but asking what your country can do for you, vice versa. So I have gone through life always thinking, well, what's in it for me? What am I going to get out of this? And how am I going to be billed on this movie, or how much am I getting paid versus the other guys? How much, you know, it was all about me. So now, like, I'm going through jobs and deals and stuff in my life where I don't even ask. Like, I'm just happy to be part of something. Like, it's weird. I'm like creating a whole life with other people where I don't even like worry about if I'm going to get anything out of it. I just enjoy the journey of it. And like, if we were to make a project together, I would probably I wouldn't even like want a contract. I would just say, let's do it. And,
like, yeah, right.
And I cross my fingers, I'm not going to be taken advantage of.
Yeah. There's people that will take the opportunity to take advantage of you. But for the most part, when it comes, I mean, my hope and belief is that as far as creatives are concerned, it's like creativity is such a fulfilling exploration on its own. Like, if you can make something and somebody likes it, it's like,
it's a joy. It's a joy. Let alone watches it at this point.
Yeah.
Right. Like, I found out for a while that the only people that were watching things that I made were the people who were in it. Well, that's kind of early on, you know, when you're like making independent films, the only people that really want to sit down and watch them are the people that are in it or their family members. And beyond that, it's like pulling teeth, trying to get somebody to sit down and watch a movie, which it shouldn't be that way.
Yeah.
You shouldn't have to beg people to watch, especially your 5-minute Channel 101 video. You shouldn't have to beg people to watch that. They should have already gone, oh, what is it? 5 minutes? Great.
I think of all my family that, like, there's no way they've seen even half of what I've done. And I was like, well, I'm like, I stopped asking you like a long time ago.
Yeah, sure. Let's just get started.
Yeah.
But they don't make stuff. It's not a part of their life. It's like, you always get this shock of like, well, this isn't like something that you should be doing. You're not a part of society. And it's like, wait, but entertainment well, is society.
Yeah, but you're not part of society. I think that just to like recap what the original question was, I feel like I don't give a shit as much as long as I think the journey of doing something is going to be good, or I just don't know. It's like now I don't even know what this world is about. So I'm just kind of saying yes to everything, whether it's a job or it's just like lunch or whatever it is. I do stuff now. I try to like just see where it takes me. I think that's something that came out of it.
This seems like I'm high-roading you, but I'm not. Because that's kind of the way I've lived my life. So before, what was your goal? Like, what were you trying to get out
well,
of life?
Well, before, I mean, when it came to work, of course I'd say yes to anything because I'm an actor and a producer, director. So anytime anybody wanted to be involved in an endeavor, I'd say yes. And I still am that way. But in life, I'd be like, yeah, you know, I don't really want to do anything. I don't, you know, I'm not really, who are you, by the way? So now it's like more like I will honestly, like, I'll go to lunch with strangers. I'll go to lunch with, or I'll do stuff with people I don't even know. And it's just, it's weird. I guess I became weird after the accident.
You've had a lot of awkward lunches now with just a bunch of
with
losers.
All the strangers, yeah, all those losers. But you know, it's literally it's just like after dying in a car accident and having all the out of body business, you really just sort of see it differently. And definitely that whole thing about aliens. Like, how do I know that there aren't aliens all around us and that we're not just living on borrowed time? So that's kind of how I look at it now, is there's something much bigger at play than we're being told. So
for sure. But that's everybody, right? Well, I think most people are going like, what is really the point of this? Like the people who aren't ladder climbers, the people who aren't just like fine with, you know, paying their rent. A lot of people are asking like, what is the point of life?
Yeah, definitely.
Let's take a quick break. Willie, you have something to bring up. We'll get to that after the break. I need to get two more drinks.
Word.
And then we'll be back talking about does the mind need the brain?
Yeah, yeah.
With our friend Ford Austin from Pearl Harbor, the movie, check it out, 2001.
Really Bad Movies, in association with Craig's Fine Grocery Stores, presents A Normal Family.
Billy, catch the ball. Billy, catch it. I'm going to throw it. Billy.
A possessed knife.
Hey, Billy, where'd you get that?
Why?
Well, because Mom wanted to cut some ham that she just cooked, and she doesn't have a knife. She's looking for one. Bring that to Mom.
This knife turns anyone that touches it into a cold-blooded killer.
Mom? What's wrong? The ham's over there. Mom? Mom? Mom?
Bloodblade 4. Bloodbath. You don't need to see the other three to enjoy the thrills. And the kills. And the chills.
I wish Mommy didn't kill Billy. He was cool.
The knife. It has me. It has control of me.
What are you talking about, Greg? What are you doing?
Greg, put that thing down, man. That's a serious weapon. Greg!
Everyone killed everyone. Everyone did it. I don't get it. Wait. Maybe I do.
Bloodblade 4. Bloodbath.
Hey everybody, welcome back to Real Life Sci-Fi. Subscribe to our Patreon. Go to patreon.com/reallifesci-fi. Get 2 bonus episodes a week. We're here talking to our friend Ford Austin about consciousness, basically.
Yeah.
Willie, we're talking about, can the mind exist without the brain? Which I think is like soul, it's like consciousness.
Yeah.
What's the next sort of
So like the science version of this is that, you know, most out of body experiences that people have happen when they blend waking consciousness with REM consciousness, and that it can all be explained by this temporal parietal region of your brain being turned off that like basically disconnects you from your physical realm. And supposedly there's this neurologist in Switzerland, Alf Ankh, whatever, who like will hit this region of your brain with an electrode and turn it off and on. And when they hit you with it, it makes you have an out of body experience. So I hear this story from someone who is like trying to scientifically be like, no, it's all, you know, your mind is electrical signals. We just don't understand it. And, basically a scientist trying to blow off consciousness. And I never felt like anybody's definitions in these realms like make enough sense for anything to catch on. And so my question is, when it comes to like picture a society. How old are humans? Humans are like hundreds of thousands of years old, but that's it. The universe has existed for billions of years. And if you can imagine a civilization lasting for longer than we have existed, that's what it all comes down to, is we've only had technology for like the last part of humans' existence. And you would imagine that some other alien race or, you know, intelligent beings from somewhere else that have had their technology be put on upon their society. Like picture a race of beings that had to leave their planet. My question.
You mean like the ones that created us?
Well, yeah. And like, I, it's easy for me to subscribe to that because I'm like, well, it's weird to hear everyone that exists right now that has a story of how humans were created when it comes to religion, all the different beliefs. None of them work to me. None of them work. No, this is,
well, I mean, when you talk about like how long humans have been around, like dinosaurs were around like way longer than we have, yeah, been, right? Uh-huh. And you could say that like the reason that we're going to die is because of technology and because of our intelligence, because we turned a stick into a way to catch ants, which became the Industrial Revolution. You know what I mean? So I don't know. I don't know if that's validating your point or going against it, but like, I mean, well, I mean, if you want to talk about dinosaurs, then you get into like cats and dogs, and like, do they have consciousness? When my cat died, is she still living in the ethereal plane somewhere? You know?
Yeah, I mean, we as a society tend to attribute intelligence to having a part in the consciousness.
Yeah, you know? Like self-awareness.
And I'm like, if consciousness is real, our understanding of it has no effect on it, so we can never figure it out. We can't figure a two-dimensional being can't figure out the third dimension. Pac-Man can never figure out that we're playing it, because Pac-Man's perspective will always be a slice of us through their dimension. And so,
but I mean, is it like Back to the Future Catch 22 rules, where like if you did figure that out, the universe would implode? You know, like, are we not meant to?
I think we're racing towards that very quickly.
Right? I mean, intelligence and technology combining.
What's that called? Where man and machine go together. That's where we're going. That's the evolution.
People are so afraid of AI becoming conscious, right? So that's a weird thing. This is why I bring up, can the mind exist without the brain? Because there's so many stories of perceptions outside of your brain, but yet science says that our perceptions are created in the brain. So how can they perceive something?
Yeah, and so, then taking that and going back to what I was saying earlier about the eyes and the ears and the nose and the mouth and the skin, all those sensations are created with functions of the mind. So
yeah,
functions of the tissue create those sensations and create that data input into your mind. So without that, the mind has to evolve outside of the machine that's inside of it. It's enabling it to have a reality. Otherwise, it's just inside of a blackness. It can't see.
So you're the only one who can speak to this with any experience. Do you think that, like, if instead of having your body or having your soul, however you want to phrase it, push back into your body, like if you would have gone through that door, do you think that you could have existed forever?
I think that's probably what would have happened. I would have gone to the next dimension. So I was reading something a little while ago where they said there are, I think, 7 dimensions that we go through in existence as spirits. And they're very long, like millions of years in certain stages. And like the first stage might be rock. The second stage is animal. The third stage is what we're doing right now. If the second one actually was animals and plants. And then after this stage that we're in, we go to a kind of a light body, like a electric type light body. And then beyond that, we go into like an air. And then beyond that, it's like you're an angel, right? So let's say, if your mind goes out of your body, well, first of all, at the beginning of your existence as a spirit, as a being, as an entity, you started out as a rock. And then millions of years you spent as a rock. And then somehow that rock was destroyed, and then your spirit and your energy left it and transported into a plant or an animal. Or that rock broke down and became a plant. And then you lived as that plant, however long, you know, was like some plants live a couple of years, some plants live like centuries. Like that big tree in the Sequoia National Forest, I think it's called the Old General. It's like a 2,000-year-old tree.
Hey, so, if they're in my apartment, they live like 2 months at most.
Yeah, but Willie's wife, look at that. It's just like it's a whole rainforest in there. But then you get into this realm that we're in, this dimension that we're in, it lasts up to 75 to 100 years.
Right.
So then you got to think, okay, so let's say someone, and they really did have all these numbers in this thing that I watched. And I was like, well,
I'm sorry to cut you off. Like, who are you talking? Yeah. What theory is this? Who are you talking about?
It's called like this the dimensional planes of existence. I couldn't ascribe it to a person because it was just some video that I saw where a guy was talking about it. And he was like, this is the answer to everything that you need to know. And I was like, I'm going to watch this.
Does it have anything to do with reincarnation, or is that a separate thing?
I think it does, but it doesn't say you're being reincarnated randomly as like another human being or another animal. It was a progression of spirit through 7 different planes of existence. And then at the end of that whole progression, which was like hundreds of millions of years, everything would be combined into one spiritual source. And everything then explodes out and starts over again. And then nothing is ever like created or destroyed. It just keeps on transitioning.
It's like a comforting thought. I just keep thinking about like time and the perception of time. And like before you were born, you have no knowledge of anything, right? Like
I agree with
darkness, nothing. When you're a kid, years lasts
forever,
decades, you know, then you get older, years start lasting more like years. And then I'm assuming years start lasting more like fucking months and weeks until you start dying. And then when you die, I'm wondering if it like expands like the universe, and like if you're dead for a second, like how long were you even ever technically dead, or like how, like because couldn't that have been like eons, and your brain was just interpreting it?
I think that's amazing what you're speculating, because how do we fucking know what time is, yeah. And how does someone take such an earthly
Or is it time is man-made? Yeah.
Like, how does somebody take such an earthly concept and say, well, this is the absolute answer to everything? You're this many years here, this many years there, a million years there. Nobody can even know. No one can even know. And then I also get into the whole theory, like, well, what if all of this is just some sort of fantasy? It's some collective imagination thing. And, you know, my big thing is, like, everyone using man-made concepts to describe reality in general and universal topics is bullshit. It's like Scientologists saying like, oh, this and that. And it's like, there's nothing that you can base on anything. There's nothing. There's nothing on this planet.
If you're talking about existence and you're quoting someone, then you're negating your experience of your existence.
Absolutely.
So in these conversations, it's always weird to me because I'm like, how are you quoting something when we're talking about the unknown?
And again, everything that we experience is told to us. Everything. Everything that we experienced physically was made by somebody else.
So my questions are always this. Is it like, I always say, does the life of a caterpillar affect the life of the butterfly? If you're a caterpillar and you know you're going to be a butterfly, does that make you be like, well, I'm just eating too much. I don't care. I need to eat as much as I can to be the best butterfly. I would say that every caterpillar has no effect on what kind of butterfly they're going to be. It's just this weird perspective.
Yeah, I mean, does the caterpillar think that he's dying when he cocoons?
Right. Like what you'd have
a lot of spiritual people telling you that's exactly what it is. And that's exactly what death is like. You'll have a lot of hardcore Christians and people that believe in like heaven and an afterlife. And they will 100% tell you that is exactly what death is that you are a beautiful caterpillar that's about to emerge from its cocoon. And that your body is a cocoon.
Yeah, that to me is all just like comforting, like denying death.
Yeah, you know? that's like some bridge to Terabithia shit.
Let me throw this in there because this is the most important thing that I've like gone through in my life. When it comes to Christianity, everything is the most important thing based on your belief. But when you look at when you take the example of a caterpillar knowing it's going to be a butterfly, belief doesn't matter. Like you, and so I've always been afraid that like, if you didn't know what you were going to become, you couldn't become that, because when you strip away our physical senses, we don't know how to perceive the universe. And so I've always been afraid of not being able to perceive the afterlife because I wasn't trained how to join it.
Well, so why would you be afraid of it? Because you don't know what it is.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, that's the practice to get into, is like figure out how to not approach things we don't know what they're going to be with fear, and like anticipate that it's going to be a bad thing. You know, it's like, yeah. we create these expectations and we're like, oh man, this, you know, it's like, well, if you're dying, just fucking, just die. Just like, do it. Just
like,
just,
I have anxiety, but I preach, don't be afraid of anything. But like, anxiety is afraid of everything. So I have this weird dilemma of like, I agree that I shouldn't be scared, but I can't control that I'm not scared.
I think if we go back to, does the mind need the brain? And I think like the whole thesis of this entire thing is no, because once you die, your brain dies. Even if souls don't exist, even if consciousness doesn't exist, like what I was saying earlier about time and the perception of time, when you're dying, that could be thousands of years, you know? And so like, even though you're dead, you could have been dying for like 2 minutes, and that could have been thousands of years for this like hallucination in your brain, right?
Well, I just want to ask, so when you're saying your mind, what are you referring to?
I'd say I'm referring to consciousness.
You're referring to consciousness.
I believe that your mind is the consciousness that is yourself without your body. It's just weird because our body defines most of our personality. But I don't say personality is consciousness.
So when you personally think about Willie Roberts and like the center of where he is, you point to here, right? You say he's here. He's in your head?
Yeah.
Like instead of he's everything that is, like he's in the foot, he's in your hands. You would say your entire body, your entire consciousness is centered right here behind your face.
Yeah, it's weird because I say yes, and then when I look into chakras, I'm like, oh, these are centers of consciousness, because it's just weird to apply that to. So here's the thing a scientist said once that was weird. I mean, I say it's weird, just in this realm where it's like your perception of the universe is external and relies on your senses. But when it comes to the perception of your body, you can't perceive your organs that are keeping you alive unless they're going to kill you. So like, your liver doesn't feel bad until it stops working. Your heart doesn't, you don't even perceive your heart until it's like, fuck, dude, arrhythmia or heart attack.
Or like your kidneys, when you have a kidney thing and you got to go through dialysis.
Yeah. And so our perceptions of our organs that are keeping us alive are, we don't have perceptions of them until there's danger. And so our perceptions of our existence relies on the things that are keeping our physical body alive, which does not has nothing to do with our soul.
No,
but
that's just your body feeling a nervous system that's telling you something is wrong with your body that is carrying your spirit around. Something is wrong with your body that needs to be fixed, and it's sending you signals that go to your brain. That is like an alert that you're in jeopardy, that there's a threat to your existence.
Yeah.
Let's cut to the chase here. Willie, Ford, you both believe, for lack of a better term, in a soul.
Yes.
Yeah.
So I don't. I think that like, maybe I'm being redundant by repeating this over and over again. I just think like when you're dying, you hallucinate thousands of years, hopefully, or you don't, and then it's just blackness like before you were born. So if you both believe in souls, Ford, for you first, because of these seven stages thing. That you mentioned. Do you believe that once we leave Earth, once you die, once your body dies, that you'll be like a being of light and you can sort of like travel around?
Yeah, I do.
Yeah, what's the next stage? Yeah.
Yeah, I think you're completely a being of light, and that is why I also believe in the paranormal ghost apparition type stuff, because I think those are spirits of people that came before us who are trying to adjust to that change, and they don't, it's like they don't know what the fuck to do.
So then I guess my follow-up question would be, aren't these beliefs that are keeping you from fulfilling your life? Like, if you believe that there's something on the other side of this life, why wouldn't you go balls out, you know, fucking Monster Energy drink, YOLO?
Dude, man, you could be James Bond in real life because nothing matters.
Well, the reason
I'm just saying, is there a complacency? Is there a complacency to believing in an afterlife?
For many people, there might be. For me, there is not. And there's just something that I like the idea of going through my whole life and experiencing all those stages. Like, I experienced being a kid, I experienced being a baby. My first memory that I remember, I was maybe 2 years old. My sister locked me out of the back patio and wouldn't let me in the door. And I was maybe three, watching Super Friends on TV.
Nice.
And then...
back at the Hall of Justice.
Yes, that show. So I... I have memories that I'm looking forward to getting as old as I can and experiencing everything that goes with that. Hopefully my body doesn't have any functioning issues, but I've had a lot of good friends. Like Martin Landau was one of my close mentors for the past 7 years of his life. And he was, I think, like 89 or 90 when he passed away.
Wow.
And that guy's best friend was James Dean. He dated Marilyn Monroe and he broke up with her. And then he was like, he lived long enough to still work until he died and meet and be a friend with a guy who was born in 1971. So to me, it's like the journey of all of this is kind of the exciting part. They say that there's like seven generations of people behind you and seven generations of people in front of you.
Holy shit, man.
And those are like who were remembered, right? So your great-great-grandparents, you could probably like find their name written down somewhere, but it's almost impossible for you to find any like information about somebody before that.
It's so funny because in the last episode where we talked about life after death, I brought that up and I'm like, when you look up these things, this is what you run into. And it's just funny that you brought it up and I brought it up too. And I'm like, but that's, where does this come from?
So, like, but that's the whole thing. You guys both looked up the same thing.
It's a Tibetan. It's like a Buddhist thing.
The Buddhists, but they don't know shit.
You're right. Nobody knows shit. I don't know where anybody gets all this stuff from because, again, it's all man-made stuff.
But my thing is when you look, okay, like let's take evolution as a scientific belief that I do believe.
Prove evolution to me.
I mean, let's just say that I believe it right now.
Right.
And take evolution and take the existence of the universe. And I say, and it makes me question this. Is evolution connected to the universe? Our evolution in this solar system can be so different from the rest of the universe. And so like I question these things because on the universal stage, consciousness having a part in evolution is a crazy thing because it will last longer than generations have existed. I know, like it. I always feel like people have a perspective of evolution in the history of the Earth, and like I always feel like my perspective of evolution is of the universe, and like there are species that have survived for millions of years. Whether we encounter them or not, they exist.
See, and I feel like this is all detrimental to living your life. Like, I feel like if you believe in anything past your life, you're not going to live your life to the fullest extent. Like, I Christians who are like, oh, I'm going to go to heaven, like, fuck Christians, but, like, nothing against them. Like, they bought the fucking beans from the fucking wizard, you know? Like, it's all bullshit. And so, like, why believe in any of it? And I guess I'm questioning the entire topic right now,
What I would say to you in that aspect is, why believe anything that we were told about the things that happened before our lives either? There's no proof of it.
Oh, what like proof history, do you have? You mean?
Yeah, what proof do you have that there were dinosaurs?
So wait, time out. This is the most shocking sentence question I've ever had ever. In my mind, like my mind is blown. Wade, you're asking if you've ever cared about your life past your existence. That, I mean that like quantifying that as to like, yeah, like we're all individuals and our individual lives matter. But when you look at the existence of everything that has ever existed, we are a second it's just crazy to actually know that we can have the perspective of this moment in time has nothing to do, and maybe everything. I'll be optimistic too, but has nothing to do with the existence of the universe. This 1 second has nothing. Like, who fucking cares? Like, is this one second connected to the universe?
I mean, that's kind of why I stay out of politics, because like, there's probably a guy like me who lived in 1940s or 39 Germany.
I guarantee
who was
you
just
was.
Like, yeah, who was just like, okay, fuck it, I'll figure it out. I'll figure it out as I go. And like, he didn't take a side on like Nazis versus Jews, whatever. Because at the time, how could you? You know what I mean? So my whole point is like, all I'm going to do is not even think about what happens when I die. I'm just going to go like, I want to play video games today. And that's what I'm going to do. Does that make any sense?
Why would you change your life any, right? If you thought you were going to die and nothing happened, or if you thought you were going to die and something happened? Because the reality is, there's no way you can know until you die. So why wouldn't you do as much shit as you can?
What if your purpose was to have so much enjoyment that you made the afterlife better? But as soon as you became aware of the afterlife, you couldn't enjoy yourself to make the afterlife better because you were aware of the afterlife.
See, this is why I think religion is bullshit, because religion was set up to, I mean, whatever religion
we know religion was totally man-made and created by a bunch of people that said, look, you guys fucking stop fucking around. You're going to go to fucking hell. And you're like, well, what's hell? What is fucking hell? What's hell, guys? What are we going to say?
Yeah.
And they fucking made it up on the spot so they could scare people into fucking not being crazy and raping each other.
It's like, oh, hey, just keep paying us.
Most people weren't raping each other in the first place. So it was like this manufactured thing where it's just like, oh, we need to keep everybody in line.
Oh, that's
where most people were like, gonna be fine anyway.
Dude, you summed up the existence of humanity in that most people weren't raping people anyways, but the church created a way to say, hey, let's make sure people don't rape people. Pay us.
So my whole thing is, I don't know. It would be great if when I die, I turn into like something else and I travel the universe as a beam of light. That'll be awesome. It's not going to change my life right now. I feel like too many people are living their lives based on this weird lie that they've been told, where like, if you live your life in a certain way, then you'll be better than anyone else who dies.
And most of them are out here in Oklahoma. I went to the post office like 6 months ago. Like, literally, COVID had just really started to kind of pick up some steam. And I'm at the post office standing in line, and I have a mask, and the woman in front of me has a mask, and we're 6 feet apart. And this other a-hole woman comes in, like, just saunters in and stands right in the 6 foot spot in between the woman in front of me and the guy in front of her. And she has no mask on. And the woman in front of me goes, "Excuse me, we're in line here." And she says, "Oh, I see y'all in line. And you must not read the Bible, because I see you got a mask on." And we're like, "What the fuck does the Bible have to do with a mask?"
Yeah, where's the mask in the Bible?
And then she stands there and she's like, "I see where the line is." It's like, how does it come down to like a biblical choice to wear a mask or not during a pandemic?
Yeah, and the crazy thing to me is this. The brainwash that she is unaware of, is that because someone tried to tell her that, or because she perceived that? And so like, we are in a weird time where like things are polarized and religion is like back. And so, kind of.
Religion has been weaponized in a weird way, where like the people who say they're religious don't even really stand for the tenets of their religion.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, they just use it as a shield.
And it makes me just question, like, hey, when you say that God gave you the right to breathe, and like, wearing a mask takes that away from you, I'm like, well, what did God do when all of the wars in the history of humans happened? No matter what the reason, like, how come your breathing is actually above everybody's death from war?
Well, let's get off of this.
Yeah,
fight me. Fight me on that the brain hallucinates when you die.
Well, Wade, your body is just a shell around your spirit. So why would you not simply step out of this piece of dead flesh and not hallucinate, but go on? Why would you not live as energy?
I would love to so it comes down to science, right? Energy never dies, it just gets transferred.
But before that, it comes down to the definition that your brain, that your mind is creating from the brain. I'm just saying that, like, that idea, whether it's true or not, can't be comprehended by us. We cannot comprehend the fact that let's say that our brain did create our mind. We can't comprehend it. Let's say that our mind exists outside of our brain. We can't fucking comprehend that either. We can't.
I would love for this to be true, where it's like, the only reason we are comprehending it is because there's an ethereal soul that's like telling us to question it. I just don't know. Like, and I don't think it hurts me to say, like, I'm ready when I die for there to be nothing. And then it'll be a happy surprise when I turn into a being of light and I travel through the fucking universe. But that's not gonna, I'm gonna live my life based on that. Once I'm done, I'm done. And I think there's this, like, the whole fucking hope is destructive, right? Like, hoping that you're gonna continue living after you've died means that you're not gonna really live ever.
There's one thing that we're leaving out of this whole conversation about the brain, the mind living without the body, the brain. And that's just, that's the whole transporting your brain, uploading your mind rather to some sort of computer device, right? Like that's what's going to come. So whether you turn into energy or not, the theory that everybody's working on right now.
Yeah, I mean, that's
hey, hold on, your mic's getting weird.
That's better.
That's a really interesting thought, because like if we get to that point where you can transfer consciousness into a robotic body, then are you denying yourself this like afterlife of like traveling the cosmos?
That's the whole thing. That's what a lot of people are going to start to worry about. But there's no way you can do it. You're going to be a robot. Some sort of cyborg, and I'll probably.
It's a good question. I'm glad that. I'll tell you one thing. I'm super glad that we are not confronted with that choice right now. Like, if they had that choice right now, that would be a very good question. I don't know what I would do.
That's a really far away thing. We got to figure out how to count fucking votes before we can build robot bodies.
Yeah. I always contemplate the idea of technological advancement being a part of evolution.
Willie, what you're saying is you would like to be part of that evolution? You'd rather sort of say, I don't care. Even if Ford does tell me, no, man, just stick with me. Trust me. We're going to be spirit beings. Let's go. Just no. Trust me. You'd rather just say, no, I'm going to choose the robot.
Well, no. I don't want to choose that. My fear. And so here's the weird thing. Like, I have fears that are outside of this realm. And it's embarrassing for me to admit, where it's just like, well, let's say that humans exist and it doesn't matter that we know the past, future, the next stages of evolution, that like this is just something that like it doesn't matter. You just do it. It's a part of the cocoon stage, whatever. I'm embarrassed to admit that I think about our consciousness being aware of. I'm sorry, I'm talking so slow because I'm thinking.
It's all good. Focus on it. Think about it.
It's like our consciousness becomes aware of the pupa stage of the caterpillar to the butterfly, right? And so like. Does it affect the butterfly stage knowing the pupa stage? Like, let's say that if you're a caterpillar and if you eat more than you should, you become a better butterfly. And nobody knows that. And people are like, hey, don't eat too much. But like, and they say that without knowing that actually eating too much is the thing that we're supposed to do. We're supposed to overindulge because it makes a better afterlife. It just makes me question like, well, is being conscious of evolution a negative or positive thing? Because I don't think that most things that are evolving are aware of their evolution. So because we're so smart that we are aware of evolution, can we make it better because we're aware of it?
Can I add to that also?
Yeah.
Evolution again is a man-made concept. It doesn't really exist.
Damn it.
So
yeah,
if you sit here and say, hey, I'm going to go full Marlon Brando because I'm going to turn into a butterfly one day. and I need all the energy I can get.
But hey, man, somebody pooping on my chest works because I evolved to that. And that was my choice. Not that Marlon was into that.
All your hot Carls aside, I think that your body is immaterial when you die. So no matter how much you eat, I think anytime you make a decision in your life based on what you're going to get in an afterlife that's not promised and is totally made up, you're making a mistake.
Yeah, it's like if you don't choose to live your life, it's easy to justify that you are the best in the world. It's easy to justify that.
Well, you're the center of the universe, Willie. the entire universe is from your point of view. It's revolving around you.
So shouldn't that give me clues to realize what actually isn't real? Because I would only I would only be excited by what isn't real.
Because how are you getting excited? Because it doesn't exist. Man. You're excited about it. You're excited about what you.
No, that's for That's. I do like that though, where it's like everybody who exists right now is the center of the universe.
Yeah, like Wade, you're totally the center of your universe. When you wake up every day, it's like, what am I going to do? I don't go like, oh, what's Wade doing today? I go, what am I going to do today? What the fuck am I going to eat today? How am I going to get something to eat? And how am I going to make the most of this day? What the fuck is this a whole other day? Like, what am I even doing with my life?
And,
is the question we should be asking.
Can a species survive by them all being the most important? Like we know what a worker bee is. They're so insignificant, yet they're a part of this big mass, collective connected consciousness. And so, like, turn that around and say every bee is the most important.
Yeah.
Does the hive survive?
I like you said that. I had this theory once that if the world would be like an amazing place on any scale, if every time you walked into a room, all you thought about was like the happiness and the well-being of every other person in that room, and every other person in that room felt the same way about everybody else. So that everyone who walked into a room only thought of everybody else. They never thought of themselves.
Dude, that idea is going to make me cry, because that actually will make things better, 100% scientifically proven.
Wait, but that's how we all live our lives, though. I mean, like, haven't you texted someone that you lost contact with and reconnected with them? And it's not because you think you're the center of the universe, because you know you're not.
Yeah, but then you come into contact. You'll walk into a room one day where there's one person or a gathering of people who are in that room who do not buy that philosophy, and that breaks down the society.
Yeah, dude. Yeah.
Yeah, but those are the assholes. Those are the fucking assholes.
Right.
Yeah. Oh man. Now we're getting onto the physical plane of like, how do we correct society? You know,
no, it's like, let's just say your mind can live outside of your brain. But it needs something to stimulate it. It needs something. I don't think that it's possible for your mind not to have something creating an electrical current to it, because that's what our body is. It's just electrical current.
Okay, so this is, you're tying it back into
the mind versus the
body. Five senses and everything.
Well, or just something.
Here's my question. Let's say that we created a driver's manual, a driver's ed manual. You all have seen that, right? How to drive a car, whatever.
Yeah.
If there was a manual that existed that showed you how to drive the universe? And it was so big that you actually just had to experience a whole life to like read the manual.
That sounds like a pyramid scheme pitch.
Yeah, is that an MLM?
And it's chlorophyll. You just listen. Just take this chlorophyll tea. It's only $20, and you become the
if you
salesman.
Don't take the tea, you cut yourself off. You do it.
I mean, that's my thing is that like the universe is so much older than humans that like, could we like be not seeing signs of like, hey, you guys need to pay attention to this, right? And like, we're just not seeing. Like, hey, how come you sleep half of your life? How come you dream most of your life that like your existence is actually like in a bad state because you have to go to sleep? We would actually live longer if we didn't have to sleep, right?
No, scientifically, no. You die earlier. You don't sleep.
I think you die in about like 115 hours. You die.
Well, if you don't sleep. I'm just saying that like you guys are accepting that sleep is like some recharge that your body needs. Where I'm like,
that's exactly what it is.
Existing doesn't need a recharge if you just have to just live off of the one charge that you get.
Well, then you're just talking about dying. Right, you don't sleep and then you die.
Yeah, well, you enter into a psychotic visual phase and then you just.
But like
your brain goes.
But like,
nuts,
but like to me, dreaming and sleeping is so important for existence. Yet we don't treat it that way. It's like dreams are nothing. Go to sleep. Who fucking cares? You should get 6 hours. Like whatever.
Oh, whatever. You're projecting all the cynicism of anyone who doesn't agree with you by saying that like sleep doesn't matter and dreams don't matter.
Well, let's talk about this. What time do you go to bed at night? What time do you go to bed, Willie? Traditionally,
like during pandemic times, I go to bed between 1 and 2:30.
What about you, Wade?
Midnight.
Yeah, I go to bed at like 11:30 or midnight. Nothing good happens at 1 or 2:30 anymore. Not since my 30s or my 20s.
But I'm like, I spend a lot of time.
Then
editing.
Hold on, wait. What time do you wake up in the morning? Are you still waking up for work like 7 a.m.? You're out the door.
Well, pandemic hours are I try to go to bed by midnight and get up at 5:30. Non-pandemic times, I go to bed at like 2 and get up at 8.
But he also has a fucking 2-year-old.
But I've never slept my whole life. I get 5 to 7 hours. I never get 7. 5 to 6 hours my whole life.
Do you remember one of your most recent dreams? Since you're talking about your dreams not mattering at all, do you remember a dream you had?
No.
But do you remember having the dream? Like maybe you don't remember it now.
The dreams that I have are nightmares. And so when I do have it, I usually try to write them down. So hold on. Let me I keep notes so I can check my notes right now. So my last dream I had, we lived in a house that was like my grandma's. We found water under the bed. She turned into Sean Connery. We were on a World War II battlefield. She said she figured it out.
Hello, there's water under the bed.
She shot me in my face. I awoke in the water as a new clone. I don't know, whatever. I have conspiracy crazy dreams.
Do you think that dream could have been real and you were actually out of your body experiencing some other existence?
So my belief in dreams is that like the dream state is closer to the real existence of the universe. And so like we have this physical existence. We are living these lives. We make these friends and that like, when we have the non-physical experiences as dreams and whatnot, it's actually closer to real life. We just don't quantify it right because we don't believe in the fact that this is part of existence. And so existence is abstract. We're concrete. And we say, hey, this abstract stuff, none of that is real. When it actually is more real. But because we don't quantify it, we can't experience it the way that we're supposed to. And so,
Willie, that's a horrible existence because all you have is nightmares. So according to your real existence, you have water under your bed and then your wife kills you because you're a clone.
But I think that previous civilizations were more connected to that.
Oh, don't give me that shit.
No.
But how could they be? Because they're less technologically advanced.
They had dream catchers.
If you take the idea of the existence of life is energy, and you take the geometrical patterns that focus energy on existing bodies, like like a spinning Earth that has energy in it at the core is going to have specific points based on geometrical patterns that, like, the energy is more focused, 100%.
Whatever, man. I mean, if you want to believe that the dream state is the reality, then you're living in a fucking nightmare.
It is a nightmare. It is a nightmare. And I think it's...
And that's what you think reality is a fucking nightmare where, like, you can't even... your mom turns into your sister who turns into your girlfriend.
Well, picture a caterpillar that the point of the caterpillar is to survive. So they eat and they hide, right? And then they build their cocoon.
But the caterpillar is a fucking dumb...
Sure.
Dumb
stupid,
insect.
Stupid, stupid, stupid. But then the butterfly, which is also stupid, can fly around and like pollinate other flowers. But not that their purpose of their life has anything to do with their existence. But I'm just saying that, like, it's just weird because we're so dumb that we are the caterpillars that, like, we're going to turn into butterflies. And whether we know it or not doesn't affect what the butterfly is. And so...
But you keep going back to that where it's like, if I eat a bunch of shit, then I'll be a better person in the afterlife. None of that is... That's all just, like, dumb to me.
Well, the question is, can a caterpillar eat not the right things and then not turn into a butterfly because they didn't eat the right things to make the shell?
You know? Can a 5-year-old human run up and squish the caterpillar? Like, the caterpillar is not the answer.
I know. Can a stupid baby? Can it, like, when I think of Eric Clapton's song that was so famous in the 90s, where his kid died because there was an open window on their high apartment floor, and the kid
that was him. That was him justifying not being a good parent.
Like, I agree with that. But, like, the song that he made, does it affect the life of that kid? Yeah. Did Tears in Heaven, him making that song, affect that baby's life? Because if time is not a real thing, then that song existed during the baby's existence.
No, that's all the justification of existence, man. I mean, means anything.
Well, then if you go ahead and talk about reality, maybe that baby's only purpose was to justify him writing that song.
Yeah, dude, that fucking baby.
Yeah, maybe that baby only existed so that he would get, like, millions of dollars.
That's what that baby's purpose in life was, and it fulfilled its purpose so it could die.
That makes me believe in God, dude. Holy fuck.
All right, let's wrap it up. Thanks so much for listening. Remember, subscribe to our Patreon. Go to patreon.com/reallifesci-fi. And remember that... what is it? It's the Nirvana Catch-22 shit. I'm blanking on it.
Just because they're not after you.
Yeah. Just because you're paranoid doesn't mean they're not after you. Thanks for listening. Thanks for the assist, Willie.
Thanks, guys.
Ford, what do you got to plug? You got any plugs?
Oh, I think I'm going to start planning Pearl Harbor, too.
All right.
Oh, I can't wait to see it, man.
Pearl Harbor 2?
It's got a real secret ending. It's a comeback story.
Hey, Ford, I will say Pearl Harbor 2 is the first really bad movies you're going to be in.
And it'll be both of us.
That is the best fucking movie that I never want to see. Pearl Harbor 2.
Yeah, please. Let's make that poster now.